Returning now to the US, and as we heard on AM, both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have voted in the US presidential election, both of them rocking up to voting stations, polling stations in New York City. So far, voter turnout has been strong, reported long queues at polling stations as soon as voting opened at 6 a.m. local time. There's also been a higher than usual turnout amongst Hispanic voters, and that believed to favour Hillary Clinton. David Rennie is the Washington Bureau Chief for The Economist. He joins us from Wisconsin. David, hello. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Hello there.
What's the voter turnout like in Wisconsin, David?
So I came here because it's the home district of a very important Republican, the Speaker of the House. It's the lunch hour here, just winding down. It's been very, very busy. This is a pretty Republican corner of the world. And you're seeing some of the same arguments coming up here in Wisconsin. You hear all over the country about if Hillary Clinton wins, how legitimate will she be as president? A lot of people telling me that they think that she's basically a crook, that she needs to be investigated, that even if she wins, they're not sure she's really a legitimate president. So here in this pretty Republican corner of a battleground state, you can see that even if she does eke out a win tonight, her problems will not be over.
Yeah, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But when you say you're in a pretty Republican corner of the world, Wisconsin generally is typically a pretty reliable Democratic state, isn't it?
So it's a Republican corner of a swing state.
Right.
It's one of these states. Remember that in America, they don't have compulsory voting like in Australia.
Yeah.
So turnout goes up and down a lot. When there's a president on the ticket, that brings a big turnout. And in a state like Wisconsin, that's the difference between 3 million voters maybe in a presidential election today. In other elections, it can be 2 million voters, and they tend to be much more conservative. So you have Republican state government and a lot of Republican kind of lawmakers lower down the ticket. So you can see that's a good example of how turnout is going to be incredibly important for Hillary Clinton today. Can she match the turnout among key groups that Barack Obama did? Will Donald Trump produce a record turnout among white, often working-class voters? That's his campaign's hope.
And that's his campaign's edge in a state like Wisconsin. What have you seen so far in terms of voter turnout? What's the report from where you've been and from what you've seen more generally across that state?
So we are seeing high turnout in lots of states. We're seeing already, this is America, lawsuits and lawyers for the two campaigns rushing into courtrooms in battleground states across America, North Carolina, in Nevada, whole bunch of states demanding that voting hours should be extended.
Right.
Republicans saying, no, you mustn't. So we see the kind of, you know, it shouldn't be the case that you can say that black votes, white votes and Hispanic votes kind of point to one party or the other. But the tragedy of politics here is that they really do. So a high Hispanic turnout, as you say, is good news for Hillary. We do seem to be seeing that. There was a sense of a lower than usual African-American turnout, perhaps people not as excited by Hillary Clinton as they were by Barack Obama. If that continues to be the case in some of those big inner cities, that's not great news for Hillary Clinton. The big thing that the Trump campaign is betting on is that there is a kind of secret silent army of millions of previously invisible working class white voters. That remains to be seen.
Is there any, I guess you're not there at each polling booth, but any reports that that secret silent army is emerging, or just simply can't tell by looking at the queues and we don't have any exit polls yet, do we?
We don't have exit polls. Well, they're not allowed to release the data that they have at the moment until voting is over. I mean, clearly there has been record turnout in quite a lot of places. And it wouldn't be astonishing if when this election is over, the same number of people vote for each party more or less as voted last time, but millions of voters will have swapped parties. So it's entirely possible that this election will go down in history, not just as very ugly, but also as an election in which the last millions of kind of working class white voters, I guess, battlers in the Australian context, left the Democrats and went across to Donald Trump. In the other direction came millions of, for example, university graduate whites, traditionally a Republican group. A lot of them, particularly women, professional women, really can't stomach Donald Trump and have come over in their millions to Hillary Clinton. So it's a very, very unusual election we're watching today.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it, that in the battle of, you know, Trump versus Hillary, it's been so acrimonious, Trump versus Clinton, I mean, it's been so acrimonious in this campaign that the whole issue of America perhaps electing their first female president really hasn't been the headline. And normally you would expect that to be a headline.
That's right. It's hard to know whether that's encouraging or not. One thing that has happened is when I was going around university campuses at the beginning of the year, when Hillary Clinton was still fighting to be the Democratic nominee, a lot of, say, college student women would say, the fact that she's a woman does not make me like her. I've got issues with her being too close to Wall Street. I prefer Bernie Sanders and his more left-wing ideas. Mm. Don't, you know, insult me by asking me to be a feminist and vote for her. Now, because Donald Trump has been accused of being really very sexist and has been recorded saying some pretty awful things about women, you meet many more women willing to say, you know what? Now the dignity of women is on the ballot, and that makes a difference. And actually, I do want to vote for a woman. So Donald Trump has, in a sense, done Hillary Clinton a favor by putting the dignity of women on the ballot.
David, just before I let you go, I know you've got a lot going on, but you said earlier that lawyers were rushing into courtrooms across many states wanting the longer voting hours. Are you saying that is happening today within the context of actual happening today?
That's right, yeah. So if you look at a state like Nevada, where they have a big Hispanic vote, in North Carolina, another very important battleground state, just following kind of, I'm at this polling station in Wisconsin, but just checking my Twitter, colleagues in these other states are reporting kind of emergency hearings in courtrooms and judges either saying yes or no to attempts to either close down voting on time or to extend it. So this is going to be, you know, America's a lot of lawyers in America. And actually, judges have quite a lot of power to extend voting hours if people are in line ready to vote.
All right. David, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck today.
Thank you.
David Rennie, the Washington Bureau Chief for The Economist, joining us there from a key state, Wisconsin. There's about 10 of these sort of key swing states, battleground states, whatever you want to call them. And they're going to be the early ones to watch, particularly a state like Florida. One of the first results we should get in the count from Florida will be key to telling us what happens.